Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is a show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to his original design of communion, peace, worship, and the rest he promised in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest. My name is Emily and I'll be your host for this evening. And as always, joining me is Naomi. Hello and welcome.
Hello. How are you, Emily? Emily Rose.
I am glad that it's the Sabbath.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it wonderful that it's the Sabbath? Coming into the Sabbath hours, wherever you are, all around Australia, we just want to welcome you and whatever kind of week you've had, maybe it hasn't been good, maybe there's been bad news or perhaps the children are sick or something at work. We just want you to know that coming into the Sabbath hours that Jesus Christ will be with us as we commune with him this beautiful Sabbath evening and for all of the Sabbath day tomorrow. So we just ask a blessing for everybody on this beautiful Sabbath evening.
This morning in my morning devotional time with God, I read in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So there's a lot of hope in that verse.
Lot of hope. So beautiful. And it's just remarkable what the Sabbath hours does. I know I'm really looking forward to it because it's been a very busy week, hasn't it, Emily?
Oh, yes, it has been very, very busy and we've had some exciting things happen.
We have. We've been invited to go overseas, to go to the US a while ago, and we thought, oh, well, that probably wouldn't happen. But you know what? People have sponsored us to go and we've been given the okay from our work to go, and it's all just sort of happened really quickly. So we're leaving actually on the weekend and on Sunday.
Yes,
and so
soon.
We won't be on air for 2 weeks, but our beautiful friends, Pastor Gary and Emerson Butcher, which is Pastor David Butcher's son, will be taking over Eden to Eternity. So you'll be able to hear them. And we just thank you, Emerson and Pastor Gary, for doing that. That's going to be awesome.
It worked out so well.
It did. Yes. And so we're going to be going to San Francisco to what's called Acts 29 Unleashed. There's still a possibility of going if you're – it's 2 weeks away. So if you don't know what that is, have a look at it, Acts 29. I looked it up in the Bible. There isn't an Acts 29. I actually did look it up. And so what it means is that Acts 20 is 28 that finishes, but this group of people want to be the next chapter to have revival and to have a heartfelt outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we surrender. And it truly is amazing. And then the Blue Bible Project, they heard we're going to go. And so they said, well, hey, why don't you come a week earlier, which is why it's happened so quick. And they're sponsoring us to fly from
Amazing.
California to Phoenix, Arizona, to what's called ASI, which if you don't know what that is, I didn't know a lot about it, but it's the Adventist Service and Industries, which is all the different ministries. It's a big convention center with lots of booths that people have all their different things. And we'll be manning the Blue Bible booth, which will be incredible. And I know we're going to be giving the Blue Bible out on this program soon in the future, but this will be amazing. And at the convention, there's literally thousands of people and lots of different ministers and people that are going to be speaking when the booths close. There'll be seminars. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, like speakers that I grew up listening to and hearing about, then I get to see them in person.
Like who?
Oh, well, like Doug Batchelor and Mark Finley and Justin Kim, Pablo Goya. So this, it's going to be very
Walter
exciting.
Python. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. But I just want to just say thank you to all our listeners and supporting us. And I really want to give a big shout out to a few people, Bev and Andrew, who I know you're listening, David and Val, Rick, Peter and Maya and Zelko, Rosie, Zia, Blaze, Montaz, Sasha and Rhiannon, Duncan and Courtney, and also Bella, who I met last Sunday. Bella and your husband, I think his name's Alan or Frank. I really can't remember, so I apologize for that. But Bella and your beautiful husband and Frank and Angelina, and especially also our beautiful Bakita and her dad, Stephen, and mum, Eunice.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
So, friends, all this week, our colleagues. That's the word.
Colleagues.
I had a mind blank there. Okay, so they were talking about hypocrisy and the church. Mm-hmm. And tonight we are going to look at I've been hurt by hypocrisy. What now? Mm. So we have really, I'm really looking forward to this topic, and we've got someone special coming on as well to help us with that.
So don't go away.
But before that, we have a free giveaway for all our Faith FM listeners.
Yeah, this is a beautiful giveaway. It's called I See Jesus. So parents, if you want your children to know Jesus, this is the book for you tonight to get. It's for children. It's a paperback. There's about 64 pages, and it's called I See Jesus, and it's just going to be a treasure to actually have this. So in this particular book, young readers will begin to see the Saviour in their everyday lives, and if they're not old enough to read, you can read it to them. And this enchanting collection of 53 beautiful short devotional stories helps children to uncover the kindness, compassion, never-ending care, and their forever friend, Jesus Christ, in this most beautiful book. So if you want this, and I know that you do, 0488 808 11. So that's 0488 808 11. And the special code to receive this book, I See Jesus, tonight is SA426. So that's SA426. And you'll get this beautiful book coming all the way to you. At your home, it'll come and you'll just so enjoy it. It'll be a wonderful book for you and your family.
That's right. Thank you so much. And so now, friends, please stay with us. We've got so much awesome things happening on our program this evening. And this is The Eye of the Storm by the West Coast Baptist College.
Beautiful.
They did not understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced a storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cries. That's when they heard him call out their names, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm.
They did not understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief.
Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name. Tenderly he says, "It is I."
He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm.
do not fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hand. Listen closely to his voice.
He's the great I am.
The great merciful, almighty, forever holy. In everything we must remember this. The great I am still is. The eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the storm. He's the eye of the storm.
And that was the beautiful song, The Eye of the Storm, by the West Coast Baptist College. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM, Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we just want to welcome you again to our program this evening on Eden to Eternity. And all this week, our friends here on Drive Time have been talking about hypocrisy and the church, a very hot topic. And tonight, we are looking at I've been hurt by hypocrisy. What now? And we have a very special guest that will help us with this topic, don't we, Naomi?
Yes, we do. We're so very blessed, listeners. And you may have heard him before if you've been tuning into us. It's Dr. Eric Walsh. Welcome, Dr. Eric.
Thank you guys for having me back.
Welcome.
I enjoy so much being with you, and I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's just wonderful to have you. Now, listeners, if this is your first time tuning in and hearing Dr. Eric Walsh is a minister. He's also a doctor, what we would call, call an American MD, I guess we would call a GP, we might call that. But you studied at the university in Miami, and also you have a master's in public health. So you've earned a doctor of medicine from the University of Miami, and you studied also your master's in public health at Loma Linda University.
We have a doctor in public health from there too.
Oh, as well. So you've got two. Oh, good.
Yep.
And you've also served as an HIV AIDS advisor with two presidents, including George Bush and Barack Obama. What a wonderful life you've had. And I'm just wondering, what would you say has been the most challenging thing, especially, I guess, to do with what we're talking about tonight, which is hypocrisy in the church? Have you yourself been hurt by hypocrisy?
Absolutely. You know, I think I want to start by laying the foundation that the church is the focal point of all spiritual warfare. And you have to understand that especially the remnant church and those churches, the church that is most attuned to what Scripture teaches, will receive the ire of the enemy the most.
Can you just repeat that again? That was fantastic.
Well, the deeper and closer to truth the church is, the more the devil wants to come after that church.
Right.
And so you have to think, if you were the devil, how would you do it? And one of the ways you would do it is to plant seeds in the church. Mm. Hence, Jesus gives a parable of the wheat and the tear. And what happens to a lot of us is that we want to be wheat, but when a tear injures us, we leave the church. And when you leave the church, you literally join the ranks of the tear. So what the devil does is work to create an environment in the church that can often be confusing and difficult. And you say, hey, these people are supposed to know Jesus. Why are they acting like this? But what Jesus says is, in fact, until the end, the wheat and the tare will grow together. So you have to remember, when you're injured in church and when you see hypocrisy in the church, not everyone in the church is of Christ. And the devil has his own secret agents. These are people practicing spiritual espionage, and they are often sitting in the church because that's where the enemy wants them. And they are sometimes literally under the control of the enemy. And so, yes, I've experienced it. I had a very public thing happen to me, and, a very public statement was made by the church, to not support me. And it was very painful. But I realized my first job isn't to defend myself or my reputation. My first job is to defend the reputation of Christ and his church. And because that is what we baptize people into. And so no matter what was done to me, the response for me, God made it clear to me that has to be the response. It cannot be a response that makes the church look bad, because at the end of the day, the church is the appointed institution on earth through which Christ works on the hearts of people. It's the main venue. It's not the only way God does it. He appears to some people in dreams and visions. We'll never see a church, but he works through the church. So I've experienced it. I'll give you one story, a quick one. When I was a kid, there was one of the young people in church. So he was older than me, but he was still a teenager, and he was on the main street, Albany Avenue, up in Hartford, where I'm from. He was seen by a church member coming out of a bar in the afternoon. And this church member was so irate that they went and told others in the church, and ultimately they called a board meeting and dragged this boy and his mother in front of kind of a tribunal, accusing him of, drinking alcohol and being in a bar in the middle of the day. And what actually happened was, this young man's father was an alcoholic who did not attend our church. And the boy's mother sent him into the bar to, give something to his father, get something from his father. I don't know which, but that's the only reason he was in that bar, and the only reason he was seen coming out of it. And it broke that young man.
Yeah.
The embarrassment of having to be called in front of the church. And he did drift away from the church. And so these stories do happen, because sometimes people are zealous. And, Jesus says it like this: many who do you harm will think that they're doing God's work. And sometimes they don't realize it's the devil's work they're actually doing. And so if you're the one who's been injured, you have to step back and ask yourself, what is it that you joined yourself to when you joined the church? And what you joined yourself to actually is Christ.
Yes.
The church is the body of Christ. And so on the body of Christ are these artifacts, these extra things that don't really belong. But if you leave the body, you leave the only hope of eternal salvation. You have to be joined to Christ. And the way that the Bible describes it is that happens as we are productive members of the living church.
That's incredible. Wow. Lots to unpack there. That's a wonderful way of explaining it. Just a couple of questions. There may be people listening who don't know the parable of the wheat and the tares. If you could explain what a tare is compared to the wheat and what that means for us. But also, I was so interested in spiritual espionage. What an incredible thing to say. Do people know what they're doing? Like, are they... espionage is like being a spy. So are they actually going in there to do that, or they don't realize that they're a tool of the devil, or is it both? So just unpacking a couple of those questions.
So let me start with the last question first. There are people who, in fact, are in the church, and they literally are there almost to wreak havoc. Wow. And I've worked as a pastor for a long time, and I've run into folk like this. And there are people who just think, listen, the church folk are too uptight. The church is too uptight. Or on the other extreme, they're the fanatic, and they think you need to come in line with how they behave. And a lot of them know what they're doing. they're not unaware. I mean, they've heard the Bible stories. They're not unaware, and those are they are practicing spiritual espionage. They are secret agents for the devil.
But do they know that they are, or they think they're doing good?
I think most of them think they're doing good,
but I do believe
there are some who, you know, and I just read this out of a Christian magazine before, and in it, the guy says, listen, he says, and I could actually send it to you, but he basically says, you know, we should change the fundamental beliefs of our church. And two of the things he says we should do away with is the belief in creation and the belief in a sanctuary message. And he says, listen, some would argue if you believe this, if you don't believe what the church believes in its fundamental doctrines, you should leave the church. He says, or you should go along with the church and just kind of suck it up and go along with the church. He said, but there's a third option, he says in this article. He says, you could stay in the church and cause good trouble.
Wow.
And he is quoting one of the civil rights leaders here in the United States from Georgia, who just recently passed away a few years ago. And during the civil rights movement, he would say, listen, we have to cause good trouble. So when you invoke that language around the organized church, mm-hmm. that you're going to cause good trouble, what you're really saying is you're going to mess up the church, mm-hmm. and you're going to try and break its doctrinal beliefs and structure. So that's why I say there are people who know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy said it publicly, but you're right. Most people think, hey, I'm defending God in this. Mm-hmm. And don't realize that they're being manipulated by the enemy.
Yes.
Which brings us back to the parable of the wheat and tares. Mm-hmm. I love the parable. Very simple parable. You know, the parable tells you that, you know, the sower planted these really good harvest wheat. And when they came back, there's tare among the wheat. And one of the parables like this one, it talks about how, you know, an enemy has done this. And I think that's it, that, you know, in that parable. And the point of the parable is this, and it actually translates out if you're a botanist, the wheat and the tare is a specific plant that as it is developing, it looks just like the wheat as the wheat is developing. Mm-hmm. It's not until the time of harvest that the flowers of the wheat bloom and the tare, which is like a weed, mm-hmm. bloom, you know, shows itself as a weed. So if you go in and you chop,
is it because it doesn't have
the same flower? It doesn't come out the same way as the wheat does. And so if you go in there and you just start, you know, take your machete or your cutlass and start chopping everything down, you'll cut out the wheat with the tare. And so the parable says, look, you got to let the wheat and the tare grow together until the day of harvest, because that's when you can distinguish which is which. And on that day, the farmer can go and pull the wheat and destroy the tare. It can be bundled up and burned. Now, from a spiritual perspective and a people person, what that means is we will not know in church who's true blue and who's not. It's a dangerous thing to try and figure out who the wheat and the tare are. Mm. That is a job for the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so by their fruit, you will know them. I mean, there are going to be people who, there are going to be people who show who they are. I mean, there are going to be people who, you know, you find out that, you know, they're, you know, doing things that really shouldn't be done, and it's very wide open. But in general, we have to understand that. Mm-hmm. And I think the what makes the parable powerful to me is the tare are where they are to steal the nutrients of the wheat.
Oh, wow.
They grow where they grow because they want what the wheat have been offered. Oh. They want the trappings of the soil, but they don't want to bear the fruit that the soil would require it to bear, so that the fruit would drop, the seed would be replenished, and the harvest be continued year over year. And so we have to be careful in church that we don't allow tear to steal our nutrients. We have to be rooted and grounded. We can't make our relationship with Jesus Christ based on what other people do or think.
Mm.
Our relationship with Christ must be based on our connection, our going into the soil. And the soil, I'll say, the nutrients in the soil are fed to you from the Word of God.
Mm.
And so once you get deep enough into the Word of God, something else begins to happen. As you study the life of Christ, one of the things that happens is you realize he was hurt by the church of his time.
Yes.
He was betrayed by the church of his time. And let me make this clear. No one in all of Earth's history has been harmed more by a religious institution than Jesus was.
He was murdered.
And when you... He was murdered, but he wasn't just murdered. See, there's a limit to how much we can suffer as humans. Mm. Even if someone did the same thing to us they did to Jesus, technically, we can't suffer like he did because he's divine and he's the creator. We will never know what it's like to look into the face of the beings we created, on the planet we created, and at the same time realize we are dying to save people who reject us.
It's incredible, isn't it?
That's an experience we can't have. And that makes his suffering eternally and infinitely greater than ours. And so no matter how bad we have it, at the end of the day, Peter and Paul, I mean, they said, listen, we glory in being partakers in the suffering of Christ, because we can only carry a little bit of the burden he carried. And so God allows the tear into the church because there's a great controversy between Christ and Satan. And the tear is allowed in the church so that Satan can have his argument. He can't say it wasn't fair. You didn't let me affect the church. Just like with Job, where Satan says, yeah, I took all his stuff and he's still praising you, but let me touch his body. And God says, okay, you can hurt his body, but you can't take his life. Mm. God allows these things so that Satan's arguments can be defeated. And how is it that the tear being among the wheat, how is it that the hypocrite being among the faithful and sincere, what does that do in terms of developing and producing fruit? Mm. What it does is it develops character.
Right. Yeah.
If you are careful and you are in a situation where the church or church folk or an individual in the church has hurt you, and you learn to rely on God rather than retreat from him, what happens is it will develop you. It will burn the dross off of your character. It will grow you up to be more like Jesus.
Oh, that is just beautiful. So listeners, if you've just joined us, we're talking with Dr. Eric Walsh here on Drive Time Big Q&A, Eden to Eternity. Don't go away, because we got to come back and unpack further and looking at hypocrisy in the church. I've been hurt by hypocrisy. What now?
And this is The Heart of the Matter by Alison Brooke.
Then life flows, the world knows. substance is Jesus, is Jesus, is Jesus.
And that was The Heart of the Matter by Alison Brooke. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we are joined by Dr. Eric Walsh, and we are looking at I've Been Hurt by Hypocrisy, What Now? And this is specifically about hypocrisy in the church, and it's a really relevant and challenging topic, isn't it?
It is. I know that I have a friend who... She was in the church, she grew up in the church, she moved to the city, and she actually was getting, she didn't have her dad or her brothers because she was from the country, and so one of the ladies got her husband to actually help this young girl to get a car, and then people started having all these rumours which were untrue about the young lady, and so she left the church at 22. She's now come back to the church, and this is very relevant for some people, because some people don't come back. What would you say, Dr. Eric, for people that have been hurt by hypocrisy in the church, that are perhaps feeling this way? What would you tell them?
I think one of the key things is to tell them that the individual does not represent Christ.
Wow.
Whoever hurt you, or those, a lot of times church can be cliquish. This was the Sabbath school lesson last week. And so, you know, going to be cliques, and you just don't feel like you fit in. People can sometimes be quite unkind. That is human nature. That is the fallen nature of man and woman. But we have to remember our goal. And our goal isn't to please people on earth or to fit in with people on earth. In fact, Jesus says, think not that I come to bring peace. I come not to bring peace, but a sword. I come to set a man at variance against his own family, basically, if you read the whole text, right? And mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And, you know, Jesus goes on and on. So the word of God is going to cut. And what we have to do, especially if you've been hurt by the church, you have to remember who it is you joined. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember you actually joined Christ. And that means you're going to join his suffering. Now, let's go through, I mentioned Jesus before. Mm-hmm. John 1:11 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Wow.
He was betrayed by Judas, who walked with him for over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Denied by Peter. Abandoned by his disciples at the time of his crucifixion. He was misrepresented, lied upon intentionally by religious leaders. He was condemned by a religious court, mocked using religious language, spat upon, a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He was beaten. He was wounded by the very people he came to save, and murdered, as you said, by the combination of people who represented all people on earth. And yet, as he was on the cross, he uttered the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Beautiful.
And this is why Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points as are we, yet without sin. And I say that to tell someone, Jesus understands what you're going through better than you could ever imagine. In fact, in some ways, better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what you're going through. And what these sufferings should do when we go through these things, they should actually cause us to draw closer to him. Now, let me make this clear. That does not mean you don't leave a bad congregation. If there's a congregation that is super clicky and just not kind, doesn't mean you leave, it's something wrong with you leaving that congregation and moving to another congregation. I know a young lady who was, her husband was a favorite at this church. Mm-hmm. And people really liked him. He's very, charismatic, talked a real good game. Wasn't a very good husband, wasn't a very good father, didn't provide, but people at church loved him.
Mm.
And he was caught multiple times by his wife with other women. And two of them were women in the church.
Oh.
And if you can imagine, she actually walked in on this man with another woman. And once he even brought her, he didn't know she was singing at a different church than normal. And he brought a woman to the other church while he was married.
Mm-hmm.
When this woman brought this to the church that they were members of, attention, the people mocked her. Mm-hmm. They didn't accept her. They trusted him because he was the gregarious,
the
you know, life of the party guy. And she was broken.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, some people even threw insults at her, even though she was completely innocent in the whole thing. But you know what God did? God actually sent her to another church that where she didn't even speak the language.
Oh.
She went to another church and they wrapped her arms around her, and she's now fluent in that other language.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Fluent in another language, and she found a safe place there. And she is a strong, strong Christian lady today. So I tell that story to just make the point. You may be hurt in one place, but it doesn't mean you'll be hurt everywhere.
And I find in my life that God's always got a plan, and it's very hard. But if we look at them, you know, when Jesus was asleep in the boat and the storm was there, they forgot he was in the boat and they were afraid. But I you know, for me, just resting on Jesus is so important. And, you know, some time ago, quite a while ago, I was, going through quite a few different, things. And I had a dream, and when I came back to the church in 2020, I had three dreams, and that was my father's voice was in one of those. But in this particular dream some time ago, it was the voice of my brother, and he actually said, serpents hide under the eaves of churches. And that was the voice, but the image was I was walking down these steps into the undercroft of a church, and there was light coming in, and there was a serpent, and it was a huge serpent, and it was coiled, and in it, it had, so the coil made a nest, and there was these giant eggs, and then it reared itself up and came towards me, and it had the smile of a man, but it was a serpent. And you know, that was really shocking to me, but it actually helped me understand that, you know, it's actually where, like you said at the beginning, we are involved in sabotage and a supernatural world where it's Christ and Satan, the great controversy. This isn't, if people are speaking to us or things are happening, we have to remember that's not God. It's actually, there is a war going on, right, Dr. Eric? That's what's happening.
There's absolutely a war. And I think, you know, if you could see the battle going on between the good and the evil angels over your particular soul, many of us would never leave our houses. And the way the devil works is that a lot of times he works through people. And again, if you're the devil, it makes no sense to, impress people and then send them to the party and the nightclub and the bar. You want to send them where he can actually knock people out of the kingdom of God. And that's what he's trying to do. But there are roads back from this.
Yes.
There are ways to recover. And, you know, it's really important that we do that. And so there's two things. We'll talk about how we recover in a minute. But one of the things I want to mention is that this thing, when this happens to you, it actually affects you. Mm. One of the things that if you go through this kind of trauma, and you've heard of PTSD.
Yes.
One of the things that happens when you go through trauma, and PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, it can create a kind of PTSD. And what happens when that happens is you become in a perpetual state of fight or flight. And so you now are constantly in a mode where there's an anxiety around the memory, which means there's an anxiety around anything that reminds you of the memory. So you, all of a sudden, it's difficult to walk into a church if you've been seriously hurt by a church, because that's where, you know, being in the church, hearing the hymns, all of it can bring you back to what hurt you. And so it puts you into a state of fight or flight. And that is one of the most difficult places to be. It's not good for your body, not good for your brain development and brain health. Causes you to have like hypervigilance. You know, instead of worshiping, you're in church. If you're in church, you're trying to manage anxiety and your heart racing. You can get sleep disturbances. I mean, this thing can really affect you. Because some of the church hurt isn't simply someone said something unkind. Sometimes it's far deeper. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it really is embraced into the realm of personal space, intimacy. I mean, it gets into some bad things.
Yeah.
And you can be so hurt that you fall into a place where literally you are now regurgitating this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're constantly being injured by it over and over and over again because you play the tape in your mind. And it's not... And you can't, you know, it's difficult to just let the tape go, difficult to just let the memory go. But I did want to just highlight that, in fact, this thing will affect you physically.
Mm-hmm.
And even affect kind of the way you see the world. And one of the things, you know, one of the statements I would say is, you know, if you're the one who's injured, you can say this, quote, "A Christian injured me." Mm-hmm. That does not mean Christ intended the injury.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's amazing. So do you think that when this is happening to us, what should be the steps that we should do? You know, this hypervigilance and what you were describing then, it just reminded me how you said about this woman who went into a church and she was embraced and that's her family. I was just speaking to someone the other day and he was saying, you know, he likes the little church he's at. He doesn't want to go to some of the other big ones because he said, this is a family. He said, I don't, you know, those ones are very cliquey and I don't feel, you know, part of that. Whereas this one, I feel like it is a family. And what you were describing with the PTSD and the disturbances and hypervigilance, it's, you know, if you can't relax and be there, it's not like a family. It's like a war, which is what we were talking about before. So, if that is happening to us, let's say, you know, people right now who are listening, what's the steps that we should do in order to obviously get out of that situation but not leave the church? And then what should we do in terms of our walk with Jesus?
So I'd use the acronym as a framework, and the word is lament, L-A-M-E-N-T. Mm-hmm. And the L is for label what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So don't call abuse a misunderstanding. Don't belittle what happened. And don't try and get anyone to convince you that what happened isn't as serious as it is, because that will only lead to that circular stress response that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So the first one is L, right? Know the truth. The truth will set you free. The A is allow yourself to grieve, right? So you want to make sure that what you've labeled has happened, you allow yourself to grieve. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your heart before him. I like Psalm 56, I think it's verse 8, where it says, when you cry, it says that God catches your tears in a bottle and he writes your tears in a book. So allow yourself to grieve, be hurt, cry. You know, David says, I cried unto the Lord and he healed me. It's okay to grieve, you know, and anyone telling you, hey, you know, just tough it out, it's not that big a deal, that's not going to help you. You should be allowed to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
The M in lament stands for make safety and boundaries a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So forgiveness does not require you to continually expose yourself to harm, mm-hmm. right? Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hides himself, right? So no one is asking you to go back to near an abuser or a cruel person or whatever. What we're asking you for is to not leave Christ, mm-hmm. and not make one person's evil act or set of acts and behaviors, don't let that cause you to pull away from the only one who actually can save you, the one who loves you best and most. Don't give that person the satisfaction that they not only hurt you, they then damaged your possibility at eternity.
Oh, that's so good. So don't let them damage your possibility of eternity. That's just profound.
In other words, don't let them steal your salvation.
Oh, don't let them. I'm writing it down. Don't let them steal your salvation. That's beautiful.
So that's the M. The M is to make safety and boundaries a priority, because you can't heal if you don't feel safe. You got to feel safe. And with that, this is where accountability partners come in. This is where finding safe people to be with. And again, you don't have to stay at a congregation. We just don't want you to leave Christ and the body of Christ. E in lament stands for examine the difference between Christ and his representatives, right? So one of the things you have to do is, remember that the behavior of Christians must be judged by Christ. Christ should not be judged by the behavior of Christians. Right? So all judgment has been given to Jesus, right? He is going to judge. But you can't have someone hurt you and then you say, okay, this person represents Christ, so this is what Christ is actually like, right? So the behavior of Christians must be judged by Christ, not Christ judged by the behavior of Christians. So examine the differences. This is E, examine the difference between Christ and his representatives. That's really important. Learning that what the person did is not what Christ would have them to do. And you can ask, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow me to be hurt like this in church? And I think, again, you have to remember, Christ was hurt like that in church. And he, I know, and again, is a great controversy. You know, if read the first two chapters of the book of Job, how Satan really wanted to get at someone God saw as precious. And sometimes when you go through these things, it's actually a sign that God sees you as precious, meaning God will allow you sometimes to go through some hard things so that you learn to trust him and not people.
Wow, that's amazing.
And, you know, and that's, you know, and I know somebody's gonna look, man, that's just too easy for a way out for the abuser. But Revelation 3 verse 19 says, Jesus is speaking to the church of Laodicea, and he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. And so anytime you go through something like this, again, you set your safe boundaries. You do not have to expose yourself to that person again. That person deserves any consequences that might come, whether legal or otherwise, especially legal is really what I see, or if the church puts them out or whatever, you know, all those things are justified.
That's amazing that you say that about being precious, because my friend Jo Lang, she sent me a quote some time ago when I was going through this situation I was telling you about. And this is the quote that she sent. It's from the Ministry of Healing, page 471. I've got it very prominent on my phone because it's often, I often read it. It says, the fact that we are called upon to endure trial shows that the Lord Jesus sees in us something precious, which he desires to develop. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen. Amen. And and anytime you're going through something, one of the key things, I say this all the time in my sermons, ask God, what are you trying to teach me? What is it about my character you're trying to perfect? And that's not easy to do right when you get the hurt. It may take a little while for you to grieve and to begin to get your bearings again before you ask God those questions. But if you could ask God that question, powerful things will happen, which leads us to the N in lament, which is nurture safe relationships. So you don't want to isolate yourself because that can preserve pain. You don't want to keep regurgitating what happened. And one of the things that has to happen is you got to nurture safe relationships. And that's why Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. And so what you want to do is find a church family or a Bible study group, at least, where you are safe, where you are safe, not just where you feel safe, but where you are safe. And there begin to nurture good relationships so that you create better memories around the good than you had around the evil.
Wow.
Because that's the way that you break that cycle. And the T in lament is take the next step at a healthy pace. Right. Start. If you have really pulled away from God completely, start by just talking to him like you talk to a friend. Pray again. I would suggest you read two books of the Bible, the book of Psalm, because David was betrayed. He experienced hurt from Saul. He experienced hurt from his court. I mean, he experienced hurt from himself in the fiasco with Bathsheba and her husband. But you start reading the Psalms, they will be like medicine to you. And if you want to really remember what Jesus looked like and what he went through, go back and read the Gospel according to John. Sometimes it may take for you to go speak to a trauma-informed counselor. I would highly recommend, if it's church hurt, that you speak to a Christian counselor, a good Christian counselor. And I say that because if the person is not a Christian, a lot of times they're going to tell you, hey, this is what do you expect? This is just what Christians do. And so from there, you know, you can get into a healthier congregation and so forth. So lament is the way it goes. And what I didn't put into lament, or what's not in lament, I should say, is one of the most difficult steps in all of this. And that's forgiveness.
Yes.
You've got to release personal vengeance and place judgment in God's hands. The Bible says, judgment, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay.
Wow. That is powerful.
And Yes. And Jesus taught forgiveness as well as accountability. I mean, he was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so if he could forgive, we can forgive. But forgiving doesn't excuse what happened. It doesn't mean that person shouldn't suffer the consequences. Forgiveness doesn't mean you need to be around the person. Doesn't mean you even need to reconcile with the person necessarily. But it does mean you got to let go of wanting vengeance, let go of allowing this person to occupy space in your mind and heart. All of that has to be let go of.
Amazing. And maybe we could say lament with a silent F at the end. Maybe we could add that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Eric. Don't go away, everyone. We'll be back in a moment. We've just got a beautiful song now. We'll be back with Dr. Eric continuing to talk about hypocrisy in the church. If that has happened to me, what now?
And this is Take the World, But Give Me Jesus by Mark Miller.
Take this world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth there.
That was Take the World But Give Me Jesus by Mark Miller. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we are joined by special guest, Dr. Eric Walsh. And we've been looking at I've Been Hurt by Hypocrisy, What Now? It's been an amazing topic and really incredible things that Dr. Eric has been sharing with us.
Yes, it's been absolutely wonderful. If you've just joined us, remember we do have the podcast once this goes live tonight, that you'll be able to hear it later tonight or tomorrow on our podcast. Go online to Faith FM or get the app, even better, on the phone. So Dr. Eric has been talking to us about hypocrisy in the church. I've been hurt by hypocrisy. What now? Is our discussion tonight, which has been amazing. And he's talked to us about an acronym, which is LAMENT, which is to label what happens, allow yourself to grieve, make safety, and have boundaries, examine the difference between Christ and his representatives. N is for nurture safe relationships, and T is for take the steps to heal. And particularly, he did mention to read those beautiful books of Psalm and getting to know Jesus Christ by reading the Gospel of John. One of the other things you started to talk about was forgiveness. You were saying that was the one letter that wasn't in there. So how important is forgiveness? What happens when we do forgive? And do we need to forgive ourselves as well?
So forgiveness is important because it is one of the things, and I have presentations I do on this. Forgiveness is actually a like a dampener on the stress response to past trauma. What I mean by that is what the studies show is when someone has forgiven, all of the negative mental health consequences of the trauma are blunted. They don't have the same full impact on your body, your mind, or your spirit. And so forgiving is really important. And, you know, the Bible is really clear about it. God is going to make things straight. He will repay those who have harmed you. And you got to trust him to do that. Because if you try to repay the person who harmed you, you stand in the seat of God, right? And you don't want to try and sit in God's seat. And part of the reason sometimes it's so hard to forgive others is in part is because we haven't forgiven ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, wait a minute. I'm the one that was abused. I'm the one that was hurt. I'm the one that was rejected. I'm the one that was neglected. How do I get in this? And what do you mean I haven't forgiven myself? There's a lot of ways it can happen. But one of them is sometimes you can feel so foolish that you even were in a situation to be hurt. That you can feel so foolish that you trusted this person, and your mind can begin to play tricks on you, and you can sometimes try and take on to yourself a part of the guilt of what this other person did.
Yes.
Because sometimes we have put ourselves. So for example, there are stories here in, in one of the big, kind of evangelical churches here in the States where, a pastor was inappropriate with a young lady at a church, and the story kind of blew up, and the young lady was clearly the victim. I mean, he's a married pastor and she's a single woman, this obviously should never happen. But she was not only mad at him when it all came out, he denied it and tried to make her look bad, but she was also mad because she couldn't forgive herself for allowing herself to get into that mess.
Yes.
Now, that's maybe a little bit of an extreme circumstance situation for many listening, but I want this point to be clear. It is critical if you're going to heal that you also have to forgive yourself. And that is not a theological forgiveness. It's not like you can, say, hey, my sins are a sponge. That you got to take to Christ. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's his work. He will do that for you. He will blot out your sin out of the book of works in heaven. But you've got to come to a place where you do not allow your guilt to become shame. Do not allow your guilt to become shame. And what that means is guilt means you did something wrong. Guilt means that when you hold yourself up in front of the law, you failed. Shame says you are something wrong. Shame says you are inherently of low value.
Yeah.
it isn't that you did something wrong. Shame says you are less valuable because of what you did. And I want to tell somebody tonight that you are not the sum total of your worst mistakes. That's not who you are, right? Shame is not how God deals with people. Well, how do I know this? Because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the highest price for us when we were at our lowest point. And so he forgives your sins. And if God forgives you, and I love the verse where it says he forgives our sins and he remembers them no more. In fact, it says he casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. 80% of the earth's ocean floor has never been seen by humans. That's where the sins collect, right? it's an analogy, but yeah. It's powerful analogy. Because man has not been all over the ocean floor. So here's the thing. If God has forgiven you, why are you putting on scuba gear? Why are you getting a deep sea fishing boat and going out looking for the sin he cast away into the ocean?
Wow.
Don't do it. I want someone that's listening to understand his eternal, priceless love for you. For God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Watch this. There is no thing there that says you have to have never made a mistake for him to have given his son.
Oh, that's good.
The opposite is true. He gave his son because man made mistakes.
Wow.
Starting with Adam and Eve.
So if we hadn't made mistakes, he wouldn't have done it for us. If we hadn't made mistakes.
And here's the deep thing about salvation. The power of salvation is that Christ coming into flesh bonded him more to humanity than if humanity had never sinned.
Oh, can you say that
again? So when this is all, when Christ coming in the flesh bonded him to humanity more than if man had never sinned.
Wow.
That's why in Revelation it says there's no tabernacle there. For God is with us. He is our tabernacle. Mm-hmm. You know, Emmanuel will be fully, the word and name Emmanuel will be fully realized in glory. Mm-hmm. God with us. Wow. He will be the light of the city. And Jesus will, through the ceaseless ages of eternity, we will still see the nail prints in his hands. We will always know what he did to save us. And so the Satan wants you to be looking backwards. He wants you looking behind you at your faults, your mistakes, your abuse, your abuser. He wants you looking backwards. He wants you looking backwards because the more you look at that, the more like that you become. By beholding, you become changed. But here's what Paul says in Philippians 3:13-14. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm going to say that again. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can't press forward toward the prize if you're constantly looking behind you.
Wow. That is so powerful. My dad always used to say that quote. He always used to say this one thing I do, and then he'd go through the whole quote. So I can't help thinking you're talking to me tonight, Dr. Eric. It's quite remarkable. I just wonder, before we go, I'd love to ask you, in terms of the Sabbath, which we're going into now, how does the Sabbath help us in these situations and the situations which are to do with hypocrisy in the church and all the wonderful things you've discussed with us tonight?
Well, one thing is the Sabbath is the time when God is calling you to rest. He's calling you to lay these things down at the foot of the cross and to just spend quality time with him. And, you know, Sabbath is a great time to do that, to unpack, unwind, do these readings and studying in ways that you may not have time to do them during the week, and to really do that. But the Sabbath is also a sign, the Bible says, that he is the one who sanctifies us.
What does that mean?
It's a sign of his, that he sets us apart for a holy purpose. That's what it means, to be set apart for a holy purpose. It's a sign that we have been redeemed. right? So the Sabbath says God created the world. Mm. If you read Exodus 20 and verse 8 and read the fourth commandment, it talks about him creating the world. Mm. And Genesis chapter 1, when you bring up the Sabbath early in Genesis, same thing. Right, God, 6 days. God, after He created the world, He rested and He did that. So He is the one who created you. This is one of the reasons you're so valuable. But the second part of it is, He's also the only one who can recreate you. And that's what really we're after. Mm. And there are two phases of that recreation. One of them is sanctification, where we are being tested and tried, and we go through this difficult life. And as we learn the lessons each test throws at us, we become more like Jesus.
Wow.
And so we live. The sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Mm. But the last great thing that this recreating power of Christ will do, that the Sabbath is a reminder of, is it is what glorifies us. So you go from justification, you accept that you've been forgiven and your sins are washed away, to sanctification, the power to live victoriously over sin through the development of a character like Christ. And that moves you to glorification, when the Bible says, one day this mortal shall put on immortality, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. Mm-hmm. So the day is coming when the Sabbath represents that you will be made over.
Yes.
And God, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, that when we get to glory, it says He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, what tears could He be talking about? It's the tears He wrote down in that book.
Oh.
It's the tears He collected in that bottle.
Yes.
The tears that from when that person hurt you, He's going to wipe them away.
Mm.
And God is going to give you eternal peace. And when you're going through something tough, I challenge people, go to the end of the Bible. Mm. Read from Revelation chapter 20 to 22. Read about the new Jerusalem, the new earth. There's some verses on it in the book of Isaiah as well. Read about it. Remember that that's the prize that you're pressing towards. This earth isn't your home. You're just a pilgrim passing through.
Mm.
And you've got to expect, as a pilgrim going through hostile territory, There are going to be fiery darts,
yes,
shot at you.
I never thought of that.
Hold up the shield of faith.
Wow. Thank you.
That's what you got to do.
So good.
Don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God. That is beautiful. I'm wondering, Dr. Eric, if you could pray for us, and particularly pray for people that have left the church, people that, you know, are right in front of us that we'd even know about, that have left because of perhaps like what you talked about of that young girl and in the church who left because of, or things that happened to her that were not true. People that, you know, I know people that whole, you know, brothers and sisters and cousins have left for different reasons. And, you know, it's destroyed whole families. If you could pray for that, for people to be healed, that would be wonderful.
Father God, we are coming before you tonight, thanking you for the good news of the gospel, for the mercy and grace of Christ, and for the power of His blood. And Lord, for the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. We thank you for all those things right now, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you, first of all, just forgive us of our sins. Forgive us where we may have hurt someone else. Forgive us, Lord, where we may not have been super kind or super loving. Forgive us for that, Lord. But Lord, we claim some Bible promises, Lord. We came to the promise, Lord, of 2 Timothy 4:17 that says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. I claim that promise for someone who is hurting tonight, someone who may have walked away from the church, someone who has crossed off the organized body of Christ and said, I'll never walk back in. But Lord, tonight I want to throw the word out there, reconciliation. I am asking tonight that Holy Ghost power would attend to every listener, especially those who have walked away and said they're not coming back. Help them, Lord, to feel the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit and to be drawn by the sweet savor of your kindness, and help them to come to know Jesus Christ again, afresh. Lord, help them to connect with you in a meaningful way. And Lord, if they need to move churches, Lord, find them the right church to move to. If they haven't read their Bible and haven't prayed, Lord, I ask that they would just whisper a prayer. Let them start talking to you again. And then, Lord, let them start reading of you again. Help them, Lord, lead them to the book of John and the book of Psalms, where they'll see themselves in the pages of Psalms, and they'll see the suffering of Christ, Lord, and be healed. So, Father God, we're asking for healing, restoration, and trust in God. That's what we're praying for tonight. For every listener, and especially those who have been hurt, Lord, heal the wound. Help them to leave the past in the past. Mm-hmm. Help them to press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. That's Amen. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Eric, for being with us. It's always such yes. a privilege to speak to you. And we'd love to get you back again. We're actually going to be away for a couple of weeks. In fact, we are coming to your wonderful country. America.
All right.
And we're coming to ASI, the convention that's in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're not going to be there by
I will
chance.
Be there. I'm presenting for the young professionals Thursday morning, and I'll be presenting a seminar Thursday afternoon. So wow. I will be there from Wednesday night, and I'll leave Friday morning, but I guess I'll be there.
Well, we're going to get to meet you. We've both been invited.
Yes.
We're manning the True Blue Bible booth at ASI. So yeah, we'll come and awesome. See you. Wow.
Crazy. And I will see you guys later this year when I am in Adelaide.
Yes, in November.
So, yep. So I'll see you guys then as well.
And you're going to be in Perth in September the 26th, I understand. Is that right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. Thank God bless you.
You too.
And now, friends, this is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus by Fountain View Academy. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus by Fountain View Academy. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight is our special Friday night program, Eden to Eternity. And this is where we explore God's original plan of rest and peace for us. And we've had a wonderful program this evening. We had Dr. Eric Walsh joining us, and we've been looking at hypocrisy and the church. I've been hurt by hypocrisy. What now? And that was just a really amazing, amazing time we had with Dr. Eric. And we just want to give a shout out to those who texted in for the book, to Josie and James and Anna. So thank you so much for texting for that book. Mm-hmm. And if any of our friends haven't had the opportunity.
That's right. We want to give you the opportunity now to get this beautiful book tonight. It's called I See Jesus. And it's particularly for parents to get for their children, or perhaps you're an aunt or a uncle or a grandparent. This is a beautiful book. And the code to text in is SA426. So that's SA426. And you'll text that to the drive time number, which is 0488880811. So that's 0488880811. And the special code for this beautiful book, I See Jesus, is SA426. No spaces, no dots or dashes, just straight through those SA426. And this is such a beautiful book. As I said, it's for children, because we want children to know Jesus and to see Jesus. What a beautiful title. Absolutely. I See Jesus. So young readers will begin to see the Savior in their everyday lives. Or if they are too young to read, then obviously you can read this to them. And it's a wonderful book because it's got an enchanting collection of 53 short devotional stories, and it helps children uncover the kindness, the compassion, and the never-ending care of their forever friend, which is Jesus Christ. And through the pages of this book, children will dive into stories and connect the dots between ancient wisdom and everyday fun, and exploring the world through the captivating tales which they've written in this book about, with vibrant photos as well of Jesus' presence as it comes to life in these beautiful stories. So don't hesitate. Get this tonight, because it'll be a wonderful gift for someone small in your life, whether it's a neighbor's child or your grandchildren, or perhaps maybe you're a teacher and you'd like to read this perhaps as a morning devotion in your class, which would be a beautiful idea. So the number again is 0488880811. 0488880811. And that is SA426, which is the code that you will need to text in, SA426. And what a beautiful book to have tonight, because it's talking about I See Jesus. And tonight, that's what I saw. I saw Jesus in the hurts that people might have because of the church or people in the church. And I love what Dr. Eric was telling us, that it's not Jesus that's actually done this. It's other people, and it's not reflective of Jesus. And we mustn't look back and keep going over the trauma, because as we look back and go over the trauma, we are actually revisiting it. You think about if someone tells you something that's happened, and they, when they recount it to you, they're actually, you can see they're reliving it. Mm. Their breath changes. They get very tense, and they start to tell the story, and you can see it in their face that they are going back over it. So don't look back, look forward. And that's really important.
Yes. And, so Jonah texted in, and the code, because you missed the code. So the code for that book is SA426. So no spaces, just text that. Just as a text to our drive time number, which you've just texted us on now, SA426, and you will get that little book.
And a shout out to Damien, who I think you just have got the book, so that's wonderful. So, it really was a beautiful, I mean, it's just, I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. That will be up later tonight or tomorrow. Send it to a friend. I definitely want to go back and listen to it. There was so much in there. It was really incredibly dense, and packed full of incredible quotes. And I don't know about you, but I'm just blown away by it, Emily, really and truly.
Yeah, there were so many things that I never really thought of before, and especially what Dr. Eric was saying about how Jesus' suffering is far greater than ours, or far greater than anything that we can experience, because he is our creator, and it was his created beings that treated him.
Yeah.
The way, and you know, the abuse that he went through, it was his beings, you know, the thing that he, like, I think about for parents, I'm not
exactly
a parent,
what I thought, exactly what I thought.
Mm-hmm. When it's their children, you know, that are hurting them, then it's just something else.
Yeah, okay. And I've seen that in people, you know, in friends or people around me, that's happened. It's that the child has done something really nasty to the parent, and I just, like, it's just such a wound. You can see it in them. So what greater for God that it's him that was wounded for us, and that his created beings murdered him. I mean, just think about that. But they tortured him first. So anything that we feel, God knows that. And that's why he's definitely allowed us to know now today of what that is really about, and how we can actually overcome that pain. But I love that wonderful acronym that that Pastor or Dr. Walsh went through, which was lament, which is to label what happened, allow yourself to grieve, make safe boundaries a priority, examine differences between Christ and his representatives. N was for nurture safe relationships and find a safe church family, not just where you are safe, but that you feel safe. And T was for take the steps to heal. And the final one, which isn't in the acronym of lament, was forgiveness. And that was really huge. And I know when we run the Make a Heals program, that's really front and foremost of what changes people. When we, when we actually forgive ourselves, we then are able to actually forgive others, but we also then are able to accept God's forgiveness. So a lot of people say to me, no, God can't forgive my sins. And that always is perplexing to me, because he has. You just have to accept it. But when we don't forgive ourselves, Dr. Eric said, what happens is we are unable to accept. It's harder for us to forgive others, but also we find it hard to accept God's forgiveness. So if you're finding it hard to accept God's forgiveness, there must be something unforgiven perhaps in us that we haven't forgiven ourselves, of putting ourselves, you know, in a situation, it's all my fault because I shouldn't have done this and I shouldn't have done that. And I often think that as well with different things. But I really love the way that Dr. Eric has explained all of this to us.
Yeah, that's right. We just have a comment from Christina saying that she's loving the show and the interview with Dr. Eric. And are we able to meet him in November? What's happening in November?
Yeah, so I may have it wrong. It could be September. I did say November, but I think it's after he's in Perth, he'll be here. It is a public event. We can get you more information about that. And now it's, you know, we're just coming into August, so we can get that information to you. I don't have the exact dates in front of me, but I know it's going to be.
Just stay tuned.
I think it's about, an hour from the city. I'm not very familiar with,
we don't know all the details yet, but we just know that he is going to be in this area, I think.
Definitely. Yeah. He's definitely coming for a week long. I think it's a convention that they're doing. So we'll get that to you. Definitely.
Yes. So friends, our time is fast coming to a close. I just want to read this verse in Isaiah 49, and then we'll come to you, Naomi. So it says in chapter 49, verse 13, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted. And so I just pray that isn't an encouragement to you, especially if you are going through pain and you feel like you're afflicted, or going through a very trying time, that the Lord, he specifically says in his word that he is with us and comforting us. And so, Naomi, could you share with our listeners a closing thought before we go this evening?
Yes, definitely. I want you to know that don't give up on God just because other people seem to have given up on you. And the beautiful verse that Dr. Eric read to us, which was so beautiful, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before us, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And that is what we want to do. We don't want to look back. We want to look up to Jesus. And just remember something my dad always said. If you want to know what a Christian is, look to Christ.
Amen. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, friends, for joining us this evening. From creation to restoration, this is Eden to eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.